today, we are going to specifically talk about freedom from slavery to spiritual forces. Okay, this one is going to go a little deeper, and it is important. You see, I can preach all about the natural things and the things God's asked us to do, but we also need to touch on the spiritual because we live in a spiritual world. And if we ignore it, there will be people trying to get free that never get free. Because for some, there's a slavery that has become spiritual. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You see, Jesus wants his people free. He came to set us free. Because without his shed blood, without his broken body, all of humankind was living in a bondage. A bondage to sin, a bondage to fear, a bondage to witchcraft, a bondage to pain and sorrow and depression. But Jesus was the answer to freedom. And true freedom, my friend, allows you to walk with joy, allows you to walk with your head up, allows you to walk with no weight, no strings attached, no chains dragging along. Freedom. For some, you maybe felt that freedom when you accepted Christ as your Savior. For others, maybe you received prayer and broke free from something that was holding you back. And yet for some, maybe you're still looking for that freedom. Maybe you've done well at covering it up and making people think it's okay, but inside, you're not free. You see, freedom from being enslaved to spiritual forces is real, and let me show you right from the beginning that Christ is the answer. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." It's Jesus Christ speaking, reading from Isaiah. And he says, "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Jesus once said to those who were following, "The one who is forgiven much loves much." Or the one who is set free from much loves much. When you meet somebody who's truly been down a dark path and God has set them free, you find a passionate person who's not afraid to worship, who's not afraid to talk about their faith. But we don't need to be in bondage to everything to really experience and find out freedom. And oh, my friend, thank the Lord for your freedom, whether it was small or huge. Because he wants you free. You see, there's often a spiritual side to slavery or bondage, and if we don't deal with it, we'll never be completely free. You see, there are a few areas I want to look at today about how there might be freedom from slavery to some type of spiritual force, and there's a couple different ways this can happen. It can happen simply in our daily lives around us. You see, I want to make this statement right away. Not everything that happens in our lives is a spiritual issue, okay? You can go to the far side of this and everything's a spiritual issue and nothing's your fault and you don't have to do anything. You're off balance and you're out of God's true will. But to pretend there is nothing spiritual and I can just do it all by my hard work, you will be in trouble. You see, there are some things that are spiritual. Scripture makes it clear in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are in a battle, and it is not a battle against people. And 6 verse 12 says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places." There is a spiritual battle going on right now. You don't see it. You don't even have to believe it. It's going on. A spiritual battle for the souls of people. A spiritual battle that has been going on for ages and ages. And you and I are told to understand there is a spiritual battle. It's unseen forces. And then we are told also in Ephesians 6, we need to be prepared for it and we need to have on armor to deal with it. If we're being told that, we are in a spiritual battle. If you're here today and you're like, well, I just think I'll let somebody else deal with that. All people are in a spiritual battle, and all believers are told to be equipped to deal with it. And don't worry, I have some good news. It's not on you. It's not about how great you are, or if you know all the right words to pray, or if you've read enough of your Bible, or if you've fasted enough. Reading your Bible is important. Fasting is important. Living right for God is important, but these do not give you authority in the Spirit. There's only one thing that will give you authority in the Spirit, in the spiritual realm. We sang about it. It's the name of Jesus. It is Jesus Himself and the authority that He gives to believers. You see, when you pray in the name of Jesus, it simply means you're praying with His authority backing you up. Someone said it like this. If you're in the city driving at an intersection and there's a police officer there waving people on, everybody listens. But it's not the authority of John the police officer. It is the authority behind him that everybody obeys. You and I, when we speak and declare and pray in the Spirit, we have Jesus behind us. And that's why we have authority. And that's why the spiritual realm listens. That's good news. That is really good news. Because you know what will happen if you begin to really pray and deal with spiritual things? Some spiritual force will tell you, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, I don't have to listen to you. No, but you have to listen to the name of Jesus in whose authority I'm speaking. And oh my goodness, when you know your authority, you don't allow yourself to be in bondage and you help others get free because Jesus wants us free. Now, there are a few ways that we can be affected by spiritual forces. Some of them could be curses, witchcraft, spirits affecting machinery, buildings, businesses, or even workplaces. Also, spiritual forces at work in the political arena, which may affect our daily lives. Did I say don't go into politics unless you're called? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, I want to go back to that. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Let me say it again, church. If you didn't know, if you are a believer, you are in a spiritual battle. You're like, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. You're in a spiritual battle. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. You're in a spiritual battle. And the authority is His. And you only need to use it. Listen to an Old Testament story about the spiritual battle going on. In Daniel chapter 10, we read about an incident that happened to Daniel. It said it was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And Daniel began to pray and talk to the Lord because he knew by prophecy certain things were going to be happening to Israel, who was in captivity. And he understood this and he began to go to prayer. And because he wanted and needed to hear from God, it said that he fasted from meats and wines and the fancy things. And some of you might have heard of the Daniel fast, just vegetables and tomato juice. Yeah, anyways, cantaloupe, no fruits. He said, God, I'm serious about this. We need to hear from you. He is in prayer for 21 days. Vegetable soup, 21 days. But his heart was breaking in prayer. And an answer finally comes. an angel is sent to talk to Daniel. And in verse 12 it says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The entire world at that point in time was ruled by Persia. And there was a spiritual being that felt it was in charge of the political arena and the then known world that the angel couldn't get by for 21 days. And he was going to give Daniel the word of what was going to happen in the future. And you see, that evil spirit knew that if the angel got through, gave the word, and a prophet spoke it, it had to happen. He was trying to stop God's plan before it could ever happen in the spiritual realm. And no natural person would have known that, would they? What if Daniel had given up after 3 days? Ah, forget it. I'm hungry anyways. What if Daniel had given up after 20 days? Do you know that when you're going to prayer for your community, when you're going to prayer for the unsaved, when you're going to prayer, there's a spiritual battle trying to stop the outcome of what you're praying for. And if I can say this now, spiritual battles sometimes take time. Don't be a wimp. Don't pray once and say, well, God didn't answer me, so I quit. You know what? God heard him from the moment he started. And he hears you from the moment you start. And he begins working in the spiritual. He begins doing what needs to be done. And oh, he is so thankful that there is human beings who say, we care and we're going to do this. Did you know that God gave authority about what happens here on earth to humans? That's a whole message I'm not going to get into today. And humans then sometimes give the authority over to the enemy, but they have the ability as believers, you see, we're no longer under the curse, and now we have authority through Jesus to take back what has been stolen. Ooh, this is good. I can tell I have some believers here in the house tonight who aren't afraid to hear this and who are not wimps. We're not afraid to pray more than once. Who are not too proud to humble themselves and say, God, I'm here and I need to hear from you. There's a spiritual battle going on, God, and I'm available. Do you need a big mouth? I'm available. Did you know I told God that many years ago? God, you can use my mouth. He needs you. And he needs your mouth. He needs your faith. Somebody says, well, God doesn't need anything. No, he doesn't, but he chooses to use people because he handed that authority to people, and now he chooses to get involved when you ask him. Some people, well, how come God allowed this, God allowed that? God didn't allow it. People did by allowing sin to come in. By handing over authority to the enemy rather than giving it back to God. And God is not a man that he should lie, and he doesn't go back on his word. You see, there are spiritual battles right now going on over political leaders of every sort. From federal to provincial to municipal to reserves, there's a spiritual battle going on. And guess who has the most powerful authority of anybody? Jesus. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. That means he's number one. And what did he say to his followers? Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. So if the world is falling apart, it's not the unbeliever's fault. Oh boy. Well, I just want to sit here and blame other people. Oh yeah, sure. Have we taken our authority? Have we taken our authority and changed our own homes? Have we taken our authority and changed our businesses? Have we taken our authority and changed our churches? Have we taken our authority and changed our communities? Or have we just decided to sit back and blame somebody else? I don't know, maybe some prayer. Maybe some prayer would change things in our world around us. You see, the way we deal with it, church, and I'm going to say this enough times that we don't forget it. We deal with it by praying with spiritual authority in Jesus' name. You see, praying with spiritual authority in Jesus' name is how we become free from spiritual forces at work in our daily lives around us. What does praying with spiritual authority in Jesus' name look like? For some of you, maybe you've not learned how to pray with authority. It's not, oh God, if you will it, please change our situation. That's not praying with spiritual authority. It's not a memorized, repeated, no thought, oh Jesus, have your way. Lord, heal if you want to. You know what? He wants to. Why did his son come and be beaten and whipped and bruised, a crown of thorns on his head and hang on a cross if he didn't want to? That's not praying with spiritual authority. That's praying like you don't know who your God is and you're wishing it might happen, like I'm wishing you might win the lottery. What? Church, I want to help you with something right now. When you know you need to pray for something, then you pray for it by faith. And faith sees that it's already done. So faith prays like it's already done. Maybe you're praying for an unsaved loved one, an unsaved child who's not at home anymore, but they're your child and they're unsaved and they're not serving God. Maybe you're praying for them. Let me show you how to pray with authority in Jesus' name, different than, oh, my child, God, please help him. Please help her. You know, if your heart is broken, pour it out. But then you pray with authority. When you pray with authority, it sounds more like this. Devil, get your hands off my kid. You have no right to touch him. Because my Bible says that if you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he's old, he won't turn from it. So he has to come back. And in the name of Jesus, I command addictions, come off. I speak life. I speak blessing. I call him back. I call her back. I say God's plan will be fulfilled according to the authority and power of Jesus. Woo! Somebody say amen. Praying with spiritual authority. Freedom from slavery to spiritual forces in our health. So we talked about in the world around us. Now we're talking about the fact that there are sometimes bondages to spiritual slavery in people's health. All right, I'm going to say this. Not every sickness is a spiritual problem, but some are. Okay? Sickness is not a God thing, but some sicknesses are natural because of a fallen, sinful world. Okay? You got a cold, and there's phlegm, and there's things going on. You probably don't have a spirit of a cold, but God didn't allow you to have a cold. It's because of a fallen, sinful world. And he wants you healed even of a cold. Okay, so that's probably not a spirit. But there are sicknesses that are spiritual, and they need to be dealt on a spiritual level. Okay? You got to know this, because if you simply deal with them on a natural level, you will fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and never get the victory. Let me give you some scripture. Luke 13, verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You see, 18 years is a long time to be bowed right over, unable to stand. And Jesus recognizes that this is a spiritual sickness that she needs to be set free from. And he doesn't beg his heavenly Father. He doesn't have to chant a memorized prayer or do a little jig. He commands her to be loosed. And when he does, the spirit that's holding her has to leave. And she's free. Matthew 9 and verse 32. It says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. We know from Scripture how these things happen. You can read through the New Testament. Jesus, at one time, he put mud on somebody's eyes. He would do what the Father was leading him to do, but he always used authority and commanded the spirit to go. Not, will you please go? Can you go if you will? No, go by the authority of Jesus. You don't have to say in Jesus' name after every prayer, but if you want to, that's totally fine. If it helps you remember where your authority is coming from, then do it. Go in Jesus' name. And she's made healed. She's made well. Go in Jesus' name. And suddenly a mute person who's demon-possessed can speak. You see, Jesus is about seeing people free. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He still wants people free. Matthew 8, 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This is not a long, drawn-out process. A word. One word, probably. Go. We know from other scriptures, Jesus used very few words to set people free from spiritual possession or oppression. And he did it again and again, and then he sent his followers to do the same. You see, praying with spiritual authority in Jesus' name is how we get free from spiritual forces at work in our health. I'm going to tell you something about praying for healing. You don't have to discern if it's spiritual or not, but you do have to use your authority no matter what it is that needs healing. And if God clearly tells you it's spiritual, then deal with it more specifically spiritual. What do I mean? If somebody has back pain, serious back pain, we're going to pray with authority. We're not going to say, oh God, if you want to. We're going to pray with authority. We're going to say, in the name of Jesus, back pain, leave. If it's spiritual, it still has to leave. If it's natural, whatever's causing it has to be made right. So we use authority. But now if we'd prayed for the back pain a couple times and it's not changing, and we're sensing, hey, this is a spirit that was put on because of something, we'd have to talk about it, and we'd pray again, commanding the spirit to go. Everybody with me so far? Anybody here seen someone get free from a spiritual force? Put your hand up if you've seen someone get free from a spiritual force. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So quite a few of you haven't. So what I'm preaching today is maybe new for you, and maybe a little bit awkward. It's okay. Read through the New Testament. It happened all the time. It happens all the time. All right, I want to move from our health, because I think you get the picture, to another point about where there can be slavery to spiritual forces, and it's this. God wants to give us freedom from slavery to spiritual forces in our mind or emotions. Okay, yeah, we're going to go there. You see, in the world around us, there's spiritual forces at work. There can be spiritual forces at work in people's health, but there can also be spiritual forces at work affecting the mind and emotions. And often, these go overlooked unless they're extreme and the person's, you know, going crazy. And I go, oh, maybe there's a spirit. But it can be at different levels, and it should be dealt with quickly. You see, if the enemy is attacking you in this area, you just accept it, it's going to give you a lot of harm, a lot of issue, so it should be dealt with quickly. But let me give you some more scripture on this. Luke 8:33. I'll read it and then we'll go back. It says, "Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told the city and the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. This man was possessed, completely owned and controlled, and he was not in his right mind." You see, the spiritual forces at work didn't affect his health. As a matter of fact, he had super strength. They couldn't hold him with chains. He could break any chains. He was a wild man who was in the tombs, and people were afraid of him. But his mind was being affected, and he was being controlled and owned spiritually. But Jesus sets him free. Jesus tells those evil spirits, of whom it says there was a legion, an unbelievable amount, and they had to go. In Jesus' name, I am giving you right now the basic prayer for spiritual issues. Go in Jesus' name. You're like, well, shouldn't praying for spiritual things like take years of learning? No. It takes faith and understanding who Jesus is that's in you. And Jesus gives that authority. You have the authority, you use it. Go in Jesus' name. The simplest prayer ever. And yes, I've told this little story before, but I will tell it again. Many years ago, our oldest daughter, who was about 6 years old, was having nightmares. And it appeared to me that they were spiritually coming. They're coming from a spiritual source. It wasn't just from the stuff that happened during the day. It wasn't from watching a scary show. It seemed spiritual, and I had prayed for her, and she had him again the next night, and I told her, you need to pray. Right? Well, the dream is happening. Just say, go in Jesus' name. I said, and if you can't get out the word go, just say in Jesus' name, because demons tremble at the name of Jesus when you know its authority. And so the next night, she prayed, and she came to me in the morning, and she said, Dad, it didn't work. I was like, well, what didn't work? So, well, I prayed, and the dream didn't end. It didn't go away. I said, sometimes you have to pray more than once. Sometimes that spiritual force is a little stubborn. She's 6 years old. She believed what I told her. See, faith is believing where your authority comes from and acting on it. It's not about how old you are. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about how many years you've been a Christian or gone to church. It's about, do you believe and know where your authority comes from, and are you willing to take a step? Well, the next morning she got up, she came to me, and she said, Dad, it worked. And I tell you what, it's been working for her ever since. She learned where her authority was, and she used her words and dealt with it. If she can do it, you can do it. Luke 8, verse 1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So here we see that Jesus had set some women free, and it says they were women who had been cured of evil spirits. Now, it tells us specifically of Mary Magdalene, but it's also possible that some of the other women who were now falling also had been set free. You see, being set free gives you an amazing passion to want to follow the Lord Jesus who set you free. And so that's what they did. Woo, I'm free. I'm free. And so Jesus set them free. They followed him walking in freedom. Mary Magdalene was possessed, but we're not told how or why. We're just told she's set free and she gives her life to following Jesus. You see, she follows and supports him. She is at the crucifixion. She is at the tomb. And she is the first person to preach that Jesus is alive. Seven spirits were cast out of her. Do you know, I have found something in our day and age today. Oftentimes, people don't want to admit there might be a spiritual issue. It might be embarrassing. What about it might be freeing? And I know someone's saying, well, you're talking to a whole bunch of believers here. Why? What do you mean? You know what? There are terms and ways you can look at this. But I say this, if we're praying and there's a spiritual problem, we're going to deal with it. Whether it's oppression, possession, I don't know what other terms you want to use. But you will be free. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sets people free, and he still does now. You see, Jesus wants you and I free. And I want to say this tonight because today people, and yes, even believers, can open doors to spiritual oppression. And it's this: habitual sin can open a door to spiritual forces, and then prayer is necessary for you to be free. And we can name any of them. Stealing. If you steal long enough, you will have a spiritual problem that you can't break, and you will continue to steal until you're in jail. Have you ever read the newspaper and you're like, how could somebody steal $100,000 from an organization that they worked at? They got a spiritual problem. They knew they were going to get caught and they couldn't stop. John 8:34, Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave to sin. You see, if your sin owns you and tells you what to do, there's probably spiritual forces involved. If you know it's wrong, it's hurting you and others, but you can't quit, there may be a spiritual problem. And let me say this, understanding there may be a spiritual problem is not an excuse to continue. It's the beginning of a solution. You know, saying, it wasn't me, it was the devil. Excuse. The devil made me do it. Well, you better get prayer and cast that devil out then. Or he's going to make you do it over and over until it destroys you. Praying with spiritual authority in Jesus' name is how we get free from spiritual forces at work in our minds and our emotions. You see, we don't accept everything the devil throws at us or puts there. We go to battle in our minds. There's a scripture that says we take captive every thought to the authority and will of Jesus Christ. That means there's a battle. You don't accept everything, you deal with it. Jesus came to set people free and still does the same thing today. This is the good part, and we're getting to the end. Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What does that mean? He's speaking to people who had been free, and he's saying, don't you dare go back to being in bondage. And yes, he's talking about going back into the law, but it is clear that he's talking about a slavery. Don't you dare go back. And if you slip back into something that once owned you, get free again, because it will destroy you. You know, there's a scripture that says, when the evil spirit is cleaned out of the house, it goes away, and this scripture says it comes back and brings seven more worse than it, and they make their home. And the person becomes seven times worse than they once were. What is that talking about? Church, if Jesus has set you free, he wants you then to fill the house with his Holy Spirit, not to leave it empty and then go back. Going back into the same sin will be worse. This is not a fear message. This is just fact. You can talk to people who have done this and you'll know. You see, the devil doesn't play fair. Jesus wants you free. He's the same today and forever. Hebrews 13:8, if you're wondering where I got that verse, I've said it a few times. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I got some great news for you. Jesus gave his followers authority. I've said it once. I'll say it again and I'll show you where it is. Luke 10, 18 to 19. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Matthew 10 and verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have you received, freely give. Who is he talking to right there when he told them, go and do these things, go heal sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. Who was he talking to? His followers. And who are you? A follower of Christ if you've accepted him. I love this verse. So in order to heal the sick, you will have to pray with authority over the sick. If you're like, I've never seen a sick person healed. Well, how many have you prayed for? With authority. Not like, oh, please, Jesus, I'm begging. No. How many sick people have you prayed for with authority? Because I guarantee if you do it, and you do it again and again, you will see people healed. Oh, but what if the first one I do isn't? Are you too proud to handle that? Oh, the things that come out. Well, won't that look bad for Jesus? Nope. He healed everybody that he prayed for. It just might mean you didn't actually believe what you were praying for. Oh, well, the person you're praying for didn't believe it. Oh, well, pray again for the next person. It isn't about you. If you look bad, we're okay with that. If I look bad, that's okay. You don't worship me, you worship him. Well, what if I can't figure it all out with my mind, and how can I explain it? You don't have to. If you could figure out God with your mind, he wouldn't be worth worshiping. Because it means he'd be no more than a human being. You want a God that's no smarter than you? I'm not putting you guys down, but I want a God that's smarter than you and me. Oh, yes, I do. And I have one. His name is Jesus. And he gave us authority. You see, true freedom begins with Jesus and ends with Jesus. I remember early hearing someone explain it like this when dealing with spiritual authority. If you're in your yard and along comes a stray dog into your yard and he starts barking at you and growling at you, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, oh, nice doggy, please leave. Oh, if you could leave, that would be nice. No, you're not. Get out of my yard right now. And he'll put his tail between his legs and he's gone. Why? Because, you know, that's your yard. You have authority there. Don't no stray dog come and try to bite me in my yard. It's no different, your authority here, but your authority comes from Jesus. Because frankly, where you are as a believer becomes his yard. Mom and dad, is that yard Jesus' yard? It is if you allowed it to be. You see, you and I are called temples of the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants it to be clean and free. And we have to use our authority to make sure that it is.